This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:48 a.m. on Monday, the 3rd of October, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Philip. The drum beats for GE15 are growing louder after UMNO Secretary General Datuk Sri Ahmad Maslan announced the party's decision for parliament to be dissolved soon and for elections to be held this year. The decision came after the UMNO Supreme Council convened for a meeting on Friday, during which it was agreed that Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri would meet with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong to propose a dissolution date. The date of this meeting has not yet been specified.
Calls for GE15 are seen as driven by factions within UMNO led by the so-called court cluster, including President Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi and recently imprisoned Datuk Sri Najib Razak. Now, political camps opposed to UMNO, including Pakatan Harapan, Perikatan Nasional and Gerakan Tanah Air, led by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, have all objected to holding elections during flood season. So, will GE15 be called sooner rather than later?
For the latest analysis, we speak to Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center, also known as Ben. Good morning, Ben. Thanks again for joining us. Now, UMNO leaders have given the strongest signal to date that GE15 will be called before the end of the year. When do you think Parliament will be dissolved? And are there any obstacles that could hinder this timeline?
Well, thanks for having me on. Based on the news and also the rumours that have been swirling over the weekend, it does appear that the parliament may be dissolved sooner than rather than later. And so we are all still speculating right now. I mean, the latest speculation is that this morning, perhaps the prime minister is headed to see the king to perhaps discuss the dissolution of parliament. That's one rumor. And we will continue to be constantly bombarded by such stories because nothing is really known. As others have already talked about this before, I mean, there is this current window of having the parliament dissolved and then having the elections done before December. And if it is to happen, it has to happen within the first couple of weeks of October. So this week and next week is something for us to, keep aware whether or not the PM does make such a trip and whether or not he will request for dissolution. Because if he doesn't dissolve the parliament, then the budget gets debated and it will run its course until the end of November, which means that the likelihood of having elections in 2022 becomes really small. And then we're looking at the next window, which is sometime in February, up to perhaps the middle of March, which is the next window for elections to be held. And thereafter, after May.
Okay, Ben, correct me if I'm wrong. It's Ismail Sabri's prerogative to call elections, right? But he seems rather reluctant to do so. What do you think, factors do you think perhaps are in his mind or might change the current calculations?
Well, I think number one, the strength of the party on the ground with the voters is still somewhat uncertain. And I say uncertain because, we know that UMNO has done its own checks with its own machinery, and they have found that much of the seats are still relatively unsafe or somewhat marginal. And so he's looking for more certainty with performance of the party in the elections. Number two is with respect to the plans that are, I think, putting in place for the elections. The economic situation is already becoming uncertain. Although we have growth recorded at the macro level, it has yet to trickle down to voters on the ground. And then thirdly, I think, which is the most important part, is the certainty as to whether Ismail Sabri will become Prime Minister again should Barisan Nasional win the election. And that is, I think, the main issue that is dogging the Prime Minister, that he doesn't really have the certainty that he will be reappointed should the coalition win the election.
Is a monsoon election good or bad for UMNO?
It could be bad. It could be bad in the sense that you really cannot control the news cycle. If we saw what has happened in the several iterations of floodings in the country, ranging from the time when Najib was playing golf with Obama in Hawaii or last year's horrendous floods, the authorities can say that they are prepared, but there's always that chance that the flood would be bigger or worse than expected and that the response is lower than anticipated. And that alone, I think, is going to stick in the news cycle and affect, you know, voter sentiments, let alone the logistics of carrying out elections in some of the affected areas. Granted that if elections really do take place during the monsoon season, the monsoon, you know, typically affects, you know, a limited number of states and limited number of constituencies at that. But I think the wider problem is how the public perceives the political party. And given the sentiments right now where the public is highly critical of the government and the politicians, you know, one wrong move could spark voter revolt, you know, particularly at a time when they're already unhappy with inflation and cost of living issues.
But Ben, there is precedent for this though, because I do believe that there was one election in 1999 where it was held at the end of November. So it's not an impossibility, right?
Certainly, it's not an impossibility. Back in the day, Dr. Mahathir dissolved parliament after he announced the budget. And that is in the wake of the Reformasi demonstrations and so on. But I think the calculus at that time is, you know, he had enormous support. The Prime Minister at that time had enormous support from the cabinet. He had a supermajority going into the election. So the issue of uncertainty about the election results wasn't really there. He just wanted to nail it before the voter revolt, the unhappiness got bigger. And he took a chance and won with that particular election gambit.
Ben, the Prime Minister will need to seek the Yang di-Pertuan Agong's assent to hold for Parliament to be dissolved. Can the Yang di-Pertuan Agong actually say no?
Well, I mean, this is where, you know, we wade into the constitutional matters. You know, one interpretation of the constitution is that the ruler is to give his assent when the Prime Minister decides to dissolve the assembly, dissolve the parliament. But we've had instances in the past where state rulers have refused to do so or declined to do so when chief ministers have walked to them and asked for a dissolution of the state assembly. So we've had that situation before. So it's really up in the air. You know, it is also possible that, you know, in that meeting, there might be some kind of discussion about, you know, what's best for the interests of the country. And because of that, we may not have full certainty that, you know, the Prime Minister will dissolve immediately.
What's the likelihood of state assemblies also dissolving in tandem with, you know, at the federal level then?
You know, I've checked with the officers of several chief ministers across the country, and there seem to be, you know, a great deal of uncertainty there as well, in part because I think many places, they're not quite ready to face elections. Number one, you know, this election, you know, has tremendous logistical challenges, because I think one thing that hasn't been, you know, fully discussed in the public space is the measures that will be taken by the Election Commission to reduce infection. So they're expanding the number of ballot boxes, and therefore there will definitely be more people involved in the elections, not just from the Elections Commission, but particularly from the political parties. So many political parties, you know, will need to raise thousands, tens of thousands of volunteers to man the polling stations, the polling booths across the country. And I think it is something that they haven't fully grappled with. That, I think, you know, is going to make some states consider delaying the election and taking it to the full term. We've heard that the three past state governments were mulling about not going at the same time. We also have discussions within the three Pakatan Harapan state governments that haven't, you know, made public their stand, but we know that it's still not decided. There is a likelihood that the state assemblies will not be dissolved in tandem with the parliament.
Okay, Ben, let's shift our conversation to the different coalitions. Let's talk about Perikatan Nasional. Can they stay together cohesively? Because it seems like UMNO is making overtures to PAS at the moment.
Yeah, this Perikatan Nasional and UMNO overtures is something that has been going on for years, you know. And UMNO has always been talking to PAS on the sidelines and within PAS itself. There is a sizable faction within the party that favours closer cooperation with UMNO. And I suppose the reason is because, you know, the mathematicians or analysts in the party calculate that, you know, hey, if we work together and divided up the seats among ourselves, we wouldn't need votes from the non-Muslim population that are very upset or not supportive of us. And so because of that, that's a kind of holy grail to achieve this Muafakat National amongst them to find a way to cooperate. But the spanner in the works is Bersatu. Bersatu is a splinter party of UMNO, just like Parti Amanah Negara is a splinter party of PAS. And so, you know, they can't really work together with the splinter party, with whom many leaders view as traitors or betrayers of the party. So I think UMNO is going to carry on entertaining PAS, weakening the bonds between PAS and Bersatu, going into elections. And I think what they're dangling in front of PAS is the prospect of working together in a number of seats where the combined PAS and UMNO vote is much higher than that attained by Pakatan Harapan. So these are seats like Indra Mahkota and many others in the Malay belt of the country. So that's something that's going to carry on right up to near election nomination day. And then we'll see whether it transpires or not. One area where it could be potent is in Selangor, because in Selangor, both PAS and UMNO, you know, have very slim chance of winning by themselves. But the chances measurably improve if they work together. So it's still up in the air. But I think putting a condition of dismissing Bersatu is rather tough, even though certain quarters in PAS feel that, you know, they have tasted the being in the corridors of power. They want to be in the federal government. And therefore, we'll try to pursue a cooperation with UMNO, even if the senior leaders, the top leaders of the party, are not very comfortable with the idea of working with UMNO.
All right, Ben, thanks very much for all your insightful comments. That was Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center. We are heading into the 9 a.m. news bulletin, but first, we do have a quick message for you. Wouldn't it be great to have an exclusive home monitoring service by medical care professionals without stepping foot in a hospital?
Find out how you can get medical attention in the comfort of your own home with the latest service extension of Allianz Care at Home tomorrow at 9:15 a.m., where we will be speaking to Tammy Lee, Chief Claims and Health Solutions Officer from Allianz Life Insurance Malaysia Berhad.
Stay tuned for the 9 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.